Welcome to Snow. No. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, generally obscure, 20 years or older that neither of us have played, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, B. Ross, and to my right is...
Mr. Mueller.
Yes. Apparently he's on Quaaludes. Is that the Quaalude noise?
What animal is that?
Quaaludosaurus Rex? I don't know. A made up creature? Sounds like a koala orgasming. Okay. It didn't take long for us to make noises, did it?
Nope.
Okay, this is the last Patreon Appreciation Month pick. Well, I guess it was last month. It is now March, my favorite month, because it's my birth month.
Birth month!
Also, I like the spring. I'm a big spring person, so I'm all about going out of the winter into new life. That's why my favorite color is yellow.
I learned a thing today.
Yes, I also like long walks on coals. No. In Kohl's.
And pina coladas?
Yes. Kohl's the store. Just long walks.
Long walks.
Looking for Kohl's savings. Yes. We have a Twitch that I have not been using because I've been sick, and I apologize. Twitch.tv/supergarbageday. And YouTube that has also been underutilized because I've been behind. In between, excuses galore over here, but realistically, I changed all my equipment, and then I got sick, and
life stuff, you know.
But it's okay because I have it in my repertoire, and I'm gonna knock all that out this weekend. Update at least the YouTube, get all the episodes on there, because I'm one of those people that will sometimes listen to a podcast on YouTube because Spotify kind of sucks. They treat their customers like crap if they're free. There's a point where they will seriously, if you listen to enough podcasts on there for free, slow down the bandwidth and just like pause it and yeah, they're jerks.
It's as if all corporations.
I hope they're not hearing right now. I hope one of you doesn't work for Podify. Podify.
Podify.
Podify. Oh boy. Bonus episode just uploaded a kind of a weird one, but I thought it was. I was proud of it. It had really nothing to do with video games, but prior to this show that we started, I was working on a podcast, a solo project, but it was realistically, I was only working on it to kind of sharpen my skills. They were rusty. And then I realized, man, I just want to make a show about like retro games and I want to co-host. And so there were 5 episodes. I put them all together and I threw them on the Patreon as a bonus episode last week. So,
okay.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Actually, I was really proud of it. Some of that stuff is kind of heavy. So there's an Alzheimer's simulation thing. Yeah. And it's gnarly. So if you want to check that out, that is on our patreon.com/supergarbageday, all one word, or check in the show notes. And we have a Discord, so come to our Discord if you want to come and chat, hang out, shoot the crap, talk about retro video games. That's actually where we get our retro questions of the week. Seeky Wisdom comes through, and he asks a great question. He asks, what's the one game you wish you could relive for the first time all over again?
I actually saw this question.
Did you?
I do check the Discord regularly.
I know. I do too. I saw it like when he posted it, I was like, oh, that's a good one. Because I have two. I have a single player and a multiplayer.
See, mine is a more modern game.
Okay.
But it it shooketh me.
Shooketh.
Mass Effect 2.
Really?
Oh god. That game.
I beat that game. I played that game. It was good.
It was an experience.
I'm in the weird camp where I like the first one more than the second. And hear me out. Here's why. I know the combat's better in the second one and the story is better, but the exploration in the first one, they got rid of the whole planet.
Did you actually like the Mako? Cause I did
I
too.
I loved it. I'm a treasure hunter. That's the kind of person I am. I loved that.
I love the first one as well, especially once you get to the latter quarter of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like that's when it actually like picks up and the stakes get real.
Yes.
And
you better be prepared.
Because I think that's why also like Mass Effect 2 hit so hard for me is because I carried over from Mass Effect 1.
And it's so seamless what it does with your save and file,
the,
right?
You know, the fact that you, you can, there's a certain Krogan that you can save and he's part of your team still. And I was just like, oh, my baby boy.
and he's red, right?
Yeah. But
no spoiler. I don't know why we're not just saying his name, but it's fine.
But it's, I don't know if some people might have not played it.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's, that game, distinct memories. I was also like, I was very lonely in that period of my life.
Right.
Like, I didn't have a lot of friends. I had just like moved back to Eugene.
Right.
And everyone that I associated with had left because I had come back from the military. And
it was like 2008,
something like that. Yeah. And so I had just like just gotten back from all my training and everything. And
so do you feel like it was kind of therapeutic?
Kind of. I mean,
a therapeutic escape.
It was my happy place for a long time.
Especially because you just came back from service. So and that game heavily revolves around, you know, military actions, you know, and like and a camaraderie.
Yeah. And just like the characters are so good. And yeah, that game, if I could relive that again for the first time, I would love that.
Interesting. I never played the third or the ones after.
Are you ready to cry?
To cry?
It's very sad.
Really? I heard it was awful.
It's, well, I think that's part of the reason why people, it's not bad. Oh, it's
tears of anger or
no, it's just everybody dies.
Oh, great.
It's a very,
we're not going to say the Krogan's name, but we're going to be like, oh, by the way,
everybody knows this. I didn't know that. Very doom and gloom.
Really?
Yeah.
The people were so mad about the ending that they
suicide.
Added as a DLC or something that you can have a different ending.
Kind of, but it doesn't really, it's not even that more satisfying.
Now I want to play it. No, I don't know. I want to restart the series because I love the first one so much.
You should play it all the way. If you're going to do it, you should.
Now that I have a Steam Deck. Steam Deck. They remastered all three and put them into a package on Steam.
That's the way you should play it then.
So like, I think that's going to happen.
Should go 1 through 3.
Yeah. I just love the first one. The Mako, like going to different planets, like looking at the different resources, the terrains.
I just drive.
Why do people hate that? I was like, this is dope.
Driving my jumpy truck.
Yes. A goofy little springy.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, man. Those were the days.
They built it for us.
Yeah, that was for you and I, Senior Miller. My game, I have two. I don't want to go too deep into them. One would be definitely Suikoden or Suikoden.
Suikoden.
That game on the PlayStation 1, there's a reason it's one of my favorite games of all time, and it's the story. It's so incredibly good. It was the first time I experienced a story so good that I had to call my best friends, let them borrow the game. And I remember my friend didn't really play RPGs. We're talking 97. He wasn't really into RPGs. We just started high school. We were just freshmen, you know, and I let him borrow my entire PlayStation and everything. And I remember him calling me and being like, this is the greatest game I've ever played, because the story, that story in that game is so good. And it's just really heavy and has to do with like family. And I don't know. It's hard to explain without ruining.
I'm going to have to sit down with this one sometime, because everyone who's ever played it just gushes about it.
It makes me sad that it wasn't as popular as Final Fantasy, because they did continue the Suikoden series, but it just got worse in my opinion, because when it went to 3D, it wasn't as good. But that number one, even though number two, some people argue is better, but it takes place like directly after the first one.
My roommate just recently played through number two again.
It's good. I actually never beat number two, but number two has my favorite villain of all time, which is the
we talked about it.
But number one is like, it's crazy, because
the fact that they have like the three styles of battle system is very
they only have that in the two first games, and then they abandoned it completely with the third one.
That's where they
go 3D, and it's stupid.
That's where they effed up, man.
And as far as multiplayer, I mean, without a doubt, because I'll never be able to experience it again anyways, is Ultima Online. Ultima Online is the greatest game ever created.
If we're going multiplayer,
period,
I have to say TIE Fighter versus X-Wing.
Really?
Oh.
Not Star Wars Galaxies, huh?
No. No, I mean, Galaxies is...
You could relive those moments again? That immersion?
Nope, because it's going to live where it was.
Me too. That's the thing about Ultima Online. And I'm going to do a bonus episode of Ultima Online one of these days.
But TIE Fighter versus X-Wing, if I could play it now
for the first time.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And with my current skill set, oh, I'd be a monster.
Well, that's like anything in life. If I go back in time with what I know now.
Yeah, but that I mean, that game.
I've never played that. I don't even know what that is. I know it's Star Wars, but I don't. What's it called? X-Wing versus TIE Fighter?
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. Or TIE PC? Fighter versus X-Wing, however you want to. I'm pretty sure it's actually X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, but I'm an Imperial guy, so.
Yeah. Scum.
Scum.
I was always a rebel in that game.
I wear my allegiance on my sleeve.
We both have Vader tattoos.
I actually have the Imperial symbol on my.
Oh yeah, well, do you have a stormtrooper and a sombrero?
No, because I'm not a joke character.
Okay. All of my Imperial tattoos are making fun of the Empire.
Yeah, mine's very serious.
We're both just Star Wars nerds.
But it was a highly realistic combat simulator.
Oh, like in the actual ships?
In the actual ships, yeah.
What platform was it on?
It was on PC.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and
was it ported to anything?
No.
Oh.
No, it was the culmination of the X-Wing series and the TIE Fighter series.
Dude, we got to do a bonus episode on just Star Wars
games. Just Star Wars games?
Because I want to talk about Jedi Outcast, man. That
game is so good.
That game has my favorite Star Wars character. So Kyle Katarn is like,
Kyle Katarn's a badass.
I wish he was in anything. They make so much Star Wars stuff and they ignored him. And he's the best. He gets trained directly by Luke Skywalker.
It's because a certain person nuked all of the stuff that was just handed to them on a platter.
Are you talking about the big D?
Yeah, okay. And I'm not trying to name names because I don't want to get
algorithm coming and canceling us. Yeah.
Just kill us. But
okay,
there's a certain KK that destroyed all of our hopes and dreams.
Now listen, The Mandalorian is a good show, and it's probably one of the best things that came out of that franchise being purchased. But how could you just bypass Jedi Outcast? It's already all there. Just The Last of Us. On HBO. What? Just take the game and literally make
it into the weeds now. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we gotta get into our game of the week. All of a sudden we could just be like, and this is now a Star Wars rant episode.
And then before you know it, it's an episode on like stir fry chicken. We're like, you gotta add the black sesame seeds, man.
Yeah, because you just touched a passion piece where it was just like, and now I have been activated.
Well, and that's just the beauty and the curse of ADHD. So you have the
chance. My hyper focus is now.
You can talk forever.
Yeah, yep. I'm going.
Yes. Okay, our game this week is XCOM UFO Unknown.
What?
Enemy. Sorry. XCOM UFO Defense, but it's also known as UFO Enemy Unknown in Europe.
Right.
Yeah! XCOM UFO Defense, known as UFO Enemy Unknown in Europe, is a 1994 science fiction strategy video game developed by Mythos Games. It was published by Microprose for DOS and Amiga computers and Amiga CD32 console and the PlayStation.
Really?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. This was a Patreon pick by Volpe. So
Volpe.
I know he's listening. What's up, Volpe? Well, I'm squeaking in Volpe now. No, I don't. So, unfortunately, here's some bad news, though. So this is
first impressions. Go.
Yeah. Well, before we get into first impressions, I have to explain that for the first time in the show, I was unable to play this game properly. For some reason or another, and I showed Mr. Miller when he came over, my Steam client would not load this game properly, and I was able to play it initially somewhere between 20 and 40 minutes, and then when it crashed, then I uninstalled, reinstalled, would not load. So I tried it on my laptop, would not load. So I unfortunately was unable to play this game this week,
which is bizarre because I had zero issues,
right? But just to make sure, I showed Mr. Miller,
yeah,
and he saw that there's something real fishy going on with my computer, and I'm wondering if the Steam Deck has something to do with it. I don't know.
I actually think it's
it doesn't work on the Steam Deck. I didn't try it on there because it absolutely is incompatible with the Steam Deck.
So that makes sense. we didn't look on your desktop,
right?
But I'm thinking it's at least for the laptop that it's like a hardware issue.
I think there's something wrong. Yeah, there's something wrong with it utilizing DOSBox, because when you load this game, it's from 1993, so it uses an older
94.
It uses an older it uses DOS. So now to emulate DOS, Steam uses DOSBox. So I'm realizing, like, okay, well, this might be a problem moving forward, at least for me, unless I'm able to do a workaround on my Steam Deck. But luckily, though, you were able to play this game.
Yeah, I'm still playing it.
And I at least took the time to watch a walkthrough because I felt bad. I know that this was a Patreon pick from Volpe. And now that we've crossed this bridge, I think moving forward, if this happens again, we'll just have to probably choose another game and maybe let, if it's a Patreon pick, let them choose, you know, put in an additional game into
the
pool.
If it's a Patreon pick, yeah, we'll probably refund you. But if it's one of our random roles, we'll come up with a contingency plan.
Yeah, for sure.
For something.
It's happened in, I think other podcasts. There's a lot of podcasts that do that try to play games and then like they just don't play at all. And they're like, okay, well, I don't know why I had this problem with this game, but from what I did watch, because I watched a couple hours of a walkthrough, and I was able to at least play it for like 40 minutes. So let's talk about first impressions. So here's all I got, because the rest of the episode is you, Mr. Miller. I thought, first off, I liked the cinematics in the beginning. I thought I was like really impressed.
That like comic book splash pages. Yeah.
But I immediately identified they stole a bunch of sound effects from Doom.
Oh yeah.
And another game. Yeah. Oh, there's the shooting, or like the door opening noise. And I'm like, they jacked this completely from Doom. But then there was another noise that was from another game.
Excuse me.
You have to mind us. We're sick. We have leprosy. Anyways.
It's also like StarCraft, that door opening is straight from StarCraft.
Too. Okay. And I thought that the intro kind of was dope. Mm. But it was funny is it goes from that, like a high intense, cinematic opening. I said by cinematic, I mean, like,
although StarCraft is like 98, I think, when that came out.
So that couldn't have been it.
So they stole it from XCOM, maybe.
Maybe. But I know Doom.
But that's where I immediately was just like, oh, it's the door opening sound from StarCraft.
Yeah. It was the people, I think, like getting shot, like their that was from Doom.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But I thought like it was a weird contrast to see this highly like action packed intro. And then you go right into the game and you're like, here's charts and graphs and a planet. And like I fooled around with it for a while. And I'm like, I have no idea how to play this game. I was able to set up a base, and then I started like naming some of my my soldiers and like my interceptors, and then it crashed, and then I was never able to play it again.
That sucks.
But I did, like I said, I watched a walkthrough on it, and I watched hours of a person get into it, and I was like, man, I missed the best part.
Yeah,
so, I didn't get to the combat.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, go right ahead, Mr. Miller. This is, well,
I had a little bit of experience with this game before. I remember it being one of the things that I played on like a cousin's or like a friend of a cousin's PC.
Okay.
But I had only played the combat portion of it. I didn't get to play around with like the base.
It's like a simulation. Yet again, 3 weeks in a row, it's a, we get a game that's like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hybrid of like
this one, though, this one does it right.
Okay.
This game is as far as I actually, the combat is good. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very compelling. I think it's overtooled in some things. Like you actually have to prime your grenades, for example.
Okay.
You can't just throw a grenade. You have to decide how many turns it's going to take until it blows up.
So when you first played this game, how long ago was that?
Oh, it's gotta be like probably right after it came out.
So what were your first impressions then compared to replaying it now?
Do
you still feel the same?
I would not really be able to tell you accurately because it was so long ago.
Okay.
I remember playing this and being like, this game's cool. And I died immediately because I was young and stupid.
Of course. Yeah.
And didn't like the UI is not friendly.
No.
And it's manual required is how I describe
Absolutely.
It. Like, if you don't have a manual for this game, you're going to struggle.
Thank God for YouTube, though, right? Like these days, like especially these older games that require these big manuals, because a walkthrough like that walkthrough taught me the whole game. And I was like, I kept trying to reinstall it and play it because I'm like, I understand it now.
Fun. Just for anybody, if you're going to try and play it and you buy it through Steam, the manual is on.
You can download it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dope.
It is available.
That's great.
That's the only way I made it through any of this.
Okay.
Because I was looking, I was like, what do all these buttons do? Like, because it's not like modern games where you can hover over something.
Right. Well, hold on. You know what? Let's get into gameplay then.
Okay. So
I feel like we're treading right into gameplay now.
So first impressions, I was like, yeah.
Well, you were excited when this game was chosen last week randomly from the Patreon pool. And so I was like, sweet, because I think you have great taste in games. And I don't even know what this is at all. And it's unfortunate because I feel like I was robbed. Yeah,
you got robbed.
I can't give an opinion this week. You know, it wouldn't be fair. What am I supposed to do? Give an opinion based off somebody's YouTube walkthrough. But from what I saw,
looks cool.
It looks cool. I want to play it. And I hear they did make a remake of this one, but I don't know if that's any good. I kind of want to play the original.
So
kind of guy,
the remake, if you want to, we're just going to go on a tangent real quick.
Okay.
If you want to play the remake is very good, but it misses most of the nuance of the other part of the game. It's almost purely combat.
Oh, I see. Because they took out because strategy, I think in the early 90s was kind of was popular and starting, you know?
And this was also, it was the new one was developed more for consoles.
Okay.
And so like a console gamer
That's true.
Mindset.
It's came out like Xbox 360, I think, or something.
I think so. Yeah. It was when this one was, because XCOM 2 just came out a couple years ago.
Recently, yeah.
But they kind of got rid of the base building and like the resource management and all that.
You know, the same company just came out with a game recently, an X-Men themed game called Midnight Suns. Do you know about this?
I've seen it and it looks intriguing.
People have been raving about it, and it's the exact same team that made XCOM.
Interesting.
And it's like a card-based combat, but also has like a relationship building part.
It's a card-based
game? It's card-based combat, but it's real-time strategy. But people are saying like, don't let that turn you off. I don't know. I might check it out.
Okay. Interesting.
I might add it to the backlog,
but yeah. Getting into gameplay. Bop. So the game starts you off in the over map, which is just the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And it immediately is just like, pick a base location.
Mm-hmm.
Pro tip, do middle of America, kind of halfway in between Canada and
I did Mexico, and Mexico. City.
And see, most of the early game ships or UFOs are in that area.
Okay.
And one of the key components of this game is you have to like balance where your bases are.
Okay.
With who is investing the most money into the program. And so you have to go into your graphs, which is a whole thing.
So is this kind of like a military simulation?
It is, but it's like it's very much like if you were in like a trade organization or like, you know, like NATO or something like that, where the top contributing countries are expecting more out of what your organization is doing.
Well, I noticed there was a section in the options that showed all the different countries.
Yeah.
And I was like diving deeper into this rabbit hole of knowledge. I don't know how this game operates. I don't understand this part, but I noticed it was like funding that was going on.
Yeah, it's randomly generated which countries are going to be like your top funders.
Interesting.
Other than the United States is always your top.
So like, you know, like NATO, your unified UFO defense program.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. So you always want to start a base in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Closer to the United States. You could skew if you wanted to be like in Canada or
right.
Because it does bleed over as long as you can deal with the invasions that are happening in that region.
So So the game is part like NATO simulator and then
kind of, but it's global. It's not global. Just North know, Atlantic it's Treaty. It's the best analogy I have for it.
Right.
Cause it's a global organization and you have to pay attention to who's contributing and you need to at least have like bases in those other areas, but you got to balance the money cause you only have so much of a budget.
Wow.
Where it's like, cause you have this like big budget, but you only get to spend so much per month, I think.
It blows me away they made this game because that's, you're like, oh yeah, we're going to make a strategy game about fighting UFOs, but like, well, let's put like microeconomics into it.
This is why I was just like, ooh, this game is fascinating.
Right.
Like I now as an adult, yeah. Because I'm like, ooh, I'm actually more into the politics of it than the actual combat.
So can things happen in the gameplay where like you have internal conflict?
Yes.
Really?
Actually, countries can turn against you and sign up with the aliens.
With the aliens?
Yeah. Where in my bad playthrough where I was just like, I was just going.
Yeah.
Just seeing what happens. Like I had Pakistan just say, we're done. And they signed up with the aliens and there was an alien base and they're sending strike teams against my other bases.
Wow.
And I'm over here just being like, I can't even handle the normal, like what's going on. And now all of a sudden I have terrestrial threats, like poking at me.
Yeah. Well, explain to me like the combat itself.
Okay. So
you explain the simulation.
So the simulation part,
I didn't get to see any of the combat.
So okay.
I'm curious.
So, to start, did you ever like get to deal with it? You didn't get to deal with a UFO at all.
No, I did. I did.
So one popped up.
One popped up, but then I was like, "Oh, I got to send an interceptor there." But I didn't have like I didn't set the things up correctly, and it just nothing happened.
Okay, so
it was moving.
When you deploy an interceptor,
yeah.
First thing when a UFO shows up, it'll show you like ground level. Airspeed, like how big the UFO is, so it gives you an idea of like how many units you're gonna have to like deploy.
Okay.
But yeah, the first thing is you deploy an interceptor to track it down.
Is it all air combat?
No. It's okay. There's ground combat. Like the air combat is actually just the first step.
Okay.
So you deploy an interceptor, and it will, if it can keep up, it'll engage and. Depending on how the UFO is feeling, if they're squirrely or not, they might dip if they're faster and just outrun you, which also comes into play. Like if you have other bases, you could deploy another interceptor to try and cut it off.
Yeah.
But just to start, we'll just say he wants to fight and you can choose from a cautious attack, a standard attack and an aggressive attack. And that means like cautious is they're not going to
cautious attack.
Yeah.
It's something I would tell a cop if I was in trouble. Cautiously attacked him.
Your interceptor is going to dip back if they take damage versus like, they're going to go balls to the wall with an aggressive attack.
Right.
So it's like, even if they're getting shot out, they're just like, no, we're going to take this thing down.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. So it's more about resources.
Yeah. So what you want, and they're going to burn more ammo and everything depending on, but if you really just want to take something down, you can.
Cool.
That's cool. Goal is to get it to crash over land. If it crashes in water, you're shit out of luck. You can't recover anything. So,
but you also win, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you dealt with the thing, so the country is going to be happy.
So the problem is solved, at least.
But what you want it to do is to crash on land, so then you can just deploy your Sky Ranger, which is your mobile troop transport.
Interesting.
And then you'll go to the recovery stage. And this is where the actual game is.
So this is like, and it's like, so that's like a combat, it's combat happening on terrain.
Yes. So, okay. And then it turns into a turn-based strategy game.
Okay. And those mechanics are tight. Are they good?
They are good. If you understand the UI, the UI is
so kind of like the first two Fallouts.
I'm going to just say the UI is trash.
Well, is it trash or is it archaic?
It's bad
for its time,
even for its time.
Really? Okay.
Because a lot of the symbols are very samey and they don't like really describe what they're doing. So if you don't have the manual in front of you or you don't have it memorized, then
is that the fault of the game if it gives you the book? You know, like, it's a very intricate game.
Yeah, but if you lose the book.
Well, okay. Well, that's a
or if you buy it secondhand, or
okay. But I mean, it coming off the shelf, you buy it. Is it the game's fault that if it hands you the
it could be better.
Okay, that's fair.
Because, but like I said,
it could be more accessible.
The symbols are very samey, and some of them do the same thing, but in a different way.
Also, consider the resolution back then on the screens. Right, we're talking 300. The top one's like 360 by 2, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's probably even harder to read. Maybe or not.
No, no, because I mean, the way I was playing it, it's just big.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, if you were playing it on a giant projector screen.
Oh yeah.
But the actual gameplay itself, once you get into it, it's pretty cool. Everything's based off of time units.
Okay.
What's a
time unit?
It's your action points.
Gotcha. Okay.
And
that's a better way to describe it.
So, you know, like moving a square takes like six time units.
Okay.
Equipping a gun. So like everybody starts with a weapon.
Yeah.
Which is also fun because all of your operatives or soldiers, however you want to describe them, they also have like a hand favor.
Oh, like left or
so
right? Like,
yeah, so they'll start, and it's like their gun is going to be in their right hand, unturned. Or they're going to be on their left hand. So it also makes a big difference, because if you want to like have them throw a grenade or something, if you have them throw it offhanded, it'll be worse. It'll
affect their accuracy.
Because you have to have them unequip a weapon, and then pull the grenade into their hand, and so you're just burning time units for every action, everything.
See, that seems kind of frustrating to me.
It is, but it's also very realistic. They were going for like hard realism with this like combat.
That's true, and it was kind of ahead of its time, would you say?
It's stressful.
I bet. Well, and to be fair, it's got a huge fan base. I don't even think it's considered a cult classic. I think it's just considered a classic.
Yeah,
because of its strategy and its depth, people really embraced it, and that's why that company has been still around. Has made a game last year that apparently everybody loves to death, and I'm intrigued about. But
so you land in a typically because you start like as you should start in North America. It's usually like a farmscape. But it's almost always dark, because they have a huge fog of war system.
Okay.
And this is where it becomes really stressful, is because you got to find the aliens.
Oh no. And you're like, yeah. And you have so many, to resource manage everything.
And
right?
The game, this is one of those games that gets exponentially easier if you do well in the early stages.
Oh, okay. So then that means like, that kind of promotes more playthroughs, which adds replayability then.
Yeah, the better you are at the game, the easier it gets.
So is this one of those games where you're going to mess up like four or five times?
Oh, you're going to
restart a new...
You're going to abandon your first game almost immediately because your entire team's going to just
get my computer did it for me, so there's that.
Yeah, you start with 8 soldiers. And they land in kind of like the SR-71 style. Like,
you know, when you say SR-71, I think of the band.
Think the X-Men's their transport.
Oh yeah,
exactly. That's an SR-71.
Okay.
Not the band. Okay. But it's that style of thing where there's 8 people just in a line, but it's all very sleek.
Yeah.
Starfighter-esque. Cool. But then you have to run out the back hatch into the darkness. And you only have so many moves. And so you're trying to like deploy people strategically because there's no cover system, really. It's just line of sight.
Ah.
And so if an alien sees you, they're just going to be like, baka, baka, baka. And then it's like one hit kill. Right.
Oh, at the beginning. So it's like, oh yeah. So the stakes are high
for your people. Some of these aliens are just like,
what do you mean your people? No.
What do you mean your people? Yeah. But like some of these aliens, like they can take like 3 or 4 hits,
but you don't know what you're up against. It could be weak. That could be strong.
Yeah. You have no idea because you just shot down a UFO and it crashed somewhere and you're just like,
unknown, man,
go get it.
It's unknown. It's flying. It's an object.
So your first round, you deploy your people.
Yeah.
Try and hopefully find something.
Can you fall? Can they? I don't know if the game is this intricate, but can something happen where like they fall in like a little bit of a lake or something? And so there's like a water area on the map.
Yes.
And say like that water area is full of bass, and say like Hank Parker is fishing and he's like, come down here. It's time for.
Are you trying to shoot? Are you trying to shoehorn baskets black bass in here? We did it, folks.
It was the worst.
It was the worst. That was That was a stretch.
That was bad.
But yeah, there's actually it can even be you land to do your recovery, and it's just like there are no survivors.
From the UFO crashing?
Yeah. Okay. Immediate recovery initiated.
So you get resources?
Yeah. Cool. So when or if you do survive, because like I said, they're not messing around. It's very brutal. The combat.
Kind of sounds, it's giving me, from what you're explaining, it sounds to me like the first two Fallouts.
It's a lot like that.
Because I love those games.
It's very much like the VAT system. Yeah. And because you have to choose your weapon. It's
a brutal game, dude. People, like, they play the new Fallouts and they don't realize how brutal the first two were, but they were better, in my
opinion. They are better.
I don't know why they didn't just remake those. Like, remake them in the 3D. Like, the stories are so good.
But yeah, you choose your weapon and it has four options. It's like aimed shot, snapshot, rapid fire, or throw.
Because this is a game that gives you a lot of options.
Yeah,
all the time.
You can literally throw your rifle at the aliens if you're like out
a tomahawk.
Yeah, if you're out of ammo.
Yeah,
or if you just like you have.
So you could like cast it like a fish.
Yeah, yes. It's Bastion Back Bass all over again.
You got to say it right. Anyways, go ahead. That's where I should have had to put the.
But yeah, no. Like plug. If you just need to do damage.
Yeah.
You can just yeet a rifle at somebody.
But then you got to go punch aliens if you miss.
Well, then I guess.
Can they grab your gun and like shoot you?
No, because they have way better guns. Why would they pick up your trash human tech?
That's fair.
Because that's the whole point is you got to merc all the aliens and take their technology. Then you go back to the simulation after you recover. And then it becomes now it's like playing like Civilization where you're doing you do research.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole tech tree that you get into. And this is why the game gets exponentially easier.
Yeah, because you're advancing yourself up to like their level.
Yeah. And so eventually you're using all of their tech against them. But then there's still aliens out there that are terrifying.
Yeah.
Like
I said, it's giving me Fallout vibes.
It's you would love this game.
I'm really intrigued. I mean, so far to where I even know parts about the game, even though I've never played it, like ditch the cannons, they're worthless. Like sell your cannons, like change your base the way it's built. Like I was looking at this stuff, I was like, man, I want to play this. Like I was so mad. I was like, ah, like I watched them walk through and I'm like, great. I watched a walkthrough.
The cannons are not worthless.
According to the walkthrough, the person who was doing it, he was stating that their distance sucks and their attack ratio sucked and they like put them into a different type of weapon. But I don't know. I'm basing it off what I saw. Well,
early game, just auto fire with them.
Yeah.
Because it's accuracy by volume.
He sold them immediately. He's like, just sell these, scrap them, and put the money in here.
What are you going to buy with them?
I don't know. I guess the money you can put. Oh, he changed his base too because he's like, your base can be taken from different areas, so build it like this. And he got real, neurodivergent with it. So
okay, well, yeah. This is a professional versus somebody.
I was watching something that was really in depth, but I was really intrigued. I'm like, oh man, this is the kind of game I wish I had a chance this week to dive into it.
I also just like the idea of a minigun. So baka baka.
It's true. It's true. Well, now you got to talk about graphics and audio. So tell me about the graphics and audio. I don't even know what the combat looks like. I just know from the overview and it looks 1994.
Yeah. I mean, it's of its time.
You know, what's funny is from what I viewed, what I played of the game, or I was allowed to before it went haywire. It reminded me of, like this old school, like internet providers like Netscape.
Yeah.
Like it's what it looked like. It like showed those like, very pixelated world and little gigantic buttons and. But that's as far as I got, just that and menuing.
I like the sprites.
Yeah.
They're they're actually kind of cool.
There's a charm to the old school, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing a resurgent in this like pixel art,
bro. We can go into that. Like, I think we're not going to, but I think that we're going to head back into analog being a huge trend, because I feel like, oh man, I'm getting the foil. I'm putting the foil suit on right now. The foil suit of armor.
The whole tinfoil suit.
I think AI is going like the worst thing ever to happen to humanity. And I think people are going to start embracing analog things because they don't want to be connected no longer to things that are in the internet. Because at one point we're going to be like unable to tell what's real, what's fake.
Mm.
And the games that we've reached plateaued. So I think we're going to go backwards in it. Anyways. Yeah. So how do you feel about the graphics and audio? Well,
The graphics really lend themselves to the tension as well as the audio.
Really? So like the music is decent for the, does it change?
It's very slow and ominous. Okay. It's almost like if you just did like the backtracks of X-Files.
Okay. Well, the game is slow and ominous,
but
so it fits perfectly, right?
It really ramps up the tension of the combat.
Oh, so when it happens, it comes to a crescendo?
Because the it's almost like silent, but there's still something going on in the background. So it's like your ears are picking it up. You know, there's music, but it's not like you're not over here bopping. You're just like in the moment. And the fact that the shadows are so dark versus, because the rest of the world is very vibrant.
Yeah.
Like when you can see stuff, it's just like, oh yeah, that's a hay bale. That's, you know, a building. There's windows and stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, but what's behind that window? Cause there literally could be an alien just sitting there and he can see you.
Oh, and you don't even know,
but
that
you can't see. Wow. And then all of a sudden, like you move one square forward and they're just like, blacka, 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 blacka.
So, wow. And so do the graphics make that harder for you to tell they're there, or does it just fit? Like, it's not like
it is very purposely designed, because there are times where you,
it's intentional,
where you can know they're there, but they're still behind a shadow. So you can like see their shape.
You see a little bit of
just like vaguely, like you can still shoot at them because you have line of sight. They're not technically behind cover, but they're like obscured by like a tree or something.
And it's just an orphan. You're like, oh no.
It could be. There are moments where you actually are in city centers.
Really?
And so there's people. There's
civilians?
Yeah, because there's also an alien type that.
Oh, so there's alien civilians?
There's an alien type that's like chestburster almost.
Oh, where, that's not a civilian at all.
But they look like a civilian. And then all of a sudden, so they'll get close to you and they'll tear open and just rip you apart.
Man, what the? I want to play this game.
You would love this game. Yeah.
Ah, I got robbed. My technology is pissing me off.
Yeah.
I'm probably still going to play it. I'm going to figure out a way. I think I'm going to have to dive deep into like the pirate area.
We might have to just like, I don't know, run it in administrator mode or figure like,
I'm just going to have to download it illegally. But since I own it, I don't think it's illegally.
Find a workaround,
find a torrent, and then use actual DOSBox. I think the problem is Steam. Steam is the problem with my computers.
It might be, yeah.
Steam is not allowing my computers to play this properly. So what I'll do is I'll probably just get DOSBox on its own, and I might have to use my RetroPie and just get it illegally, but it's not illegally because I paid for it.
Yeah.
I own it.
There's got to be a way, but...
But I want to play it. Like, and especially after everything you've said about it, and what I watched on it, I'm like, this is something I could totally get into.
But like the when you're in the quote unquote simulation or the overworld.
Yeah.
The geoscope, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
Then it's just kind of like very 90s. It's like it's just a jivey kind of. It's nothing special.
I noticed that. I can talk about that. And it just sounded like early 90s PC games,
but it's music. You know, it's not bad,
but it's also that's how Doom sounded.
And it's like that. Well, yeah, but Doom rips.
Yeah, but Doom also rips off Metallica.
Doom rips. No, Doom is way better than Metallica.
No, I'm telling you, they ripped off. I'm going to play this on this episode and post, but they totally ripped off Master of Puppets.
That's cool because they made something better.
I'm not defending Metallica. Let me get that straight. I'm just saying, my little weird ADHD brain is like, that's totally Master of Puppets. I did it. I'll just play it on here for people to hear.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, yeah, no, the Doom soundtracks have always been good.
Doom rips and tears. Mick Gordon is a genius. The 2016 Doom soundtrack is a pinnacle.
Didn't Atticus Ross work on that?
I'm gonna do a Patreon.
We talked a lot about Doom on this episode.
I'm gonna do a Patreon exclusive episode on my favorite metal.
You better
metal game soundtracks.
But we gotta do Vampire Survivors today. So,
anyways, it's the soundtrack is very suitable.
So it works.
The graphics are very suitable. It's of their time.
The concept is good.
It works for what the game is.
That's good. Well, I think we've gone a long time. Well, let's get to your verdict, because I can't give a verdict. So
this game is a gem.
It's a gem.
I'm going to keep playing this game.
Well, and you know, it does have that background and it has that community, and it still has the company that originally made it. The members of that company are still making games.
Like, I liked the remake because I liked the combat.
Yeah.
And then now that I have the extra layers,
yeah,
that I'm actually more like, it was like, oh no. Like, I even have a save file being like EU, the big mad, even though it wasn't the EU at the time. Cause it's just like France and Germany were just like, deal with our aliens.
It's so cool that it's so multi-layered though, where you can have conflict on different levels. And you have to, I don't know, that's definitely a game for a person with ADHD, right? Like,
I guess I got to put a base in France.
Yeah. Like, here's your little base.
Yeah. Which is actually cool because you can just placate them by slapping a base with just a listening station in there.
Yeah, or a bass.
Or a bass. God damn it.
Okay, I'll stop. There's so many episodes that I didn't get Bassin's Black Bass into, so I'm just overcompensating. You're just
making up for it now.
But moving forward, I'll find ways to sneak it in.
Play this game. Okay. If you can get it to work, I think you will love it.
All right. Well, there you go. XCOM UFO Defense is a hidden gem. It joins the ranks of, I think, three other games. I think we had three.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it hidden gem status because
not of, hidden gem. I'm sorry, just gem status.
Because of it, it's a treasure.
Because of
its pedigree.
Well, I thought about this today while I was working. And I was dumping trash cans. I was like, you know what? Me and Mr. Miller need a solid rating system. And I'm like, why not just go with yes or no?
Yeah, it's a treasure.
So this is a yes.
I'll still bring out Longer Burger Basket references.
That's fine. No. I'll still bring out Bassin's Black Bass references. But, well, there you go. XCOM is the original, the first, which has different names and stuff. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, it's PAL. It's, it's like.
What's the PAL one? It's a.
Enemy Unknown.
Jamie, pull that up. UFO Enemy Unknown.
Which is the name of the remake, XCOM.
Yeah, Enemy I saw Unknown. That. I noticed that. So
that's why I was confused, where I was just like, that's what I remember it being called, but it's not.
No, I know. UFO Defense. Hopefully this was the version that Volpe wanted us to play. He's like, bro, I wanted you to play the third one.
It'd be so funny because there's like six different expansions.
There's a lot of XCOM in this world. A lot. I've known of this game. At least
this
series.
This iteration of it.
Oh, the first version? So that makes sense.
There's a bunch of...
I bet you can play it on your phone.
A bunch of expansions for it. I mean, honestly, this phone could probably play...
Well, I just mean like it's probably on an app store.
Oh, I bet.
Like somebody's ported it.
Well, it's going to be a microtransaction version of...
Yeah, I hate
some strategy games. Thing, but yeah.
I hate phone games.
Play XCOM.
Play XCOM. Okay, well, I think now we're back to the random, the wheel of retro, the Ooh, retro gods.
Buddy.
I think it's your choice for the console.
Is it?
Yeah, because I think last time I chose before we had our Patreon appreciation.
What was the last one that you chose?
I think I chose a Patreon.
Oh, you just decided to choose a Patreon?
No, I didn't, because it was the last one of the... I don't know. God. I don't know.
What was before the last Patreon choice? Let me look it up. I was just about to say. All right,
time. I can just look up episodes. We did Wild Arms, McGee, Ghosts and Goblins, Outcast. So it was PC.
That was me.
Oh, it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Oh, we're going Super Nintendo, dog.
Okay. All right.
Let's go. Okay. So our game this week is from developer Konami.
Konami, another. Oh, wait.
No, it is.
Okay.
Published by Konami. Developed by Konami. Released on September 11th, 1992. Never forget. And the game is a shoot 'em up side scroller called Axlay. So this week we'll be playing Axlay, and I will be playing it on original hardware.
I'm jealous.
Oh,
but also very excited because this is a bullet hell game.
It looks like it is.
This is my shit.
Okay. That's it. Tune in next week for Axlay. Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a good review if you are able to. We appreciate that. If you do leave a review and it's readable, we will read that on our next episode and future episodes. So thank you for your support. If you are a patron, please put your patron game in for March, because on the last week of every month, we pull from the Patreon pool and we do a whole episode on that one on this main channel. So if you haven't put yours in yet, put her in.
Also, I was requested, because they didn't hear it the last time we did it. I don't know if it got cut, but thank you. Vega.
Yeah, we thanked Vega.
We did, but she didn't hear it. So I'm doing it again. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Vega.
And I talked to her recently in person, and she was like, I didn't hear my shout out. I'm like, well, here it is now, Vega, again.
We gave you a whole noise and tone. We said Vega. But thank you, Vega.
Thank you.
We will see you next week.
And to all of our other Patreons, we also love you as well.
We do. Thank you. You keep the show going and you keep the bills on. So that's how we pay the bills on around. All right. Cut to B. Bye.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.